My name is Christopher Allen Maloney, and this is Why This Movie, a podcast where we talk about the movies we love and why we love them. Today I'm talking with Tyra Jenkins, a youth worker, dancer, and full-time student. Tyra, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Where are you right now?
I'm in my dorm currently.
Do you have a Pink Floyd poster anywhere on your walls?
I actually do not. I don't.
Do you have a Shawshank Redemption black and white poster anywhere on your walls?
Don't.
Okay. I'm thinking of stuff that my friends and I had on our walls when we were
really?
In college. Yeah.
No, unfortunately, I don't have a Pink Floyd poster on my wall.
Do you have any prints of paintings by Van Gogh?
No, but we do have some letters and some aura printings from Amazon.
Oh, from Amazon. I think we're boycotting Amazon, no?
Okay, but this was prior to the boycott.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
You know.
Yeah. All right. So what movie are we talking about today?
We're talking about Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your Name was released in 2017. It takes place in the early 80s in northern Italy. I mention this because the film's setting plays an enormous role in the overall feel and sensibility of the story itself. Once you've seen it, you can't separate what actually happens from the setting it happens in. The Italy shown here is sumptuous and lush, always sunny and clear and unspeakably romantic. The film concerns Elio, a 17-year-old boy played by Timothy Chalamet, who is spending the summer with his parents at their enormous villa in the countryside. His father, an academic, invites his intern, played by Armie Hammer, to stay with the family for the summer.
Elio, Oliver Elio.
How you doing?
Nice to meet you, Elio.
You must be exhausted.
A little bit.
Come.
May I bring your things up to your room?
Sure, yeah.
My room?
Follow him. You're very welcome here.
See,
our home is your home.
Over the course of the summer, Elio and Oliver develop an intense, consuming friendship that involves lust, desire, and even obsession before the time comes for them to part ways.
Is there anything you don't know?
I know nothing, Oliver.
Well, you seem to know more than anybody else around here.
Well, if you only knew how little I know about the things that matter.
What things that matter?
You know what things.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I thought you should know.
Because you thought I should know?
Because I wanted you to know. 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 Because there's no one else I can say this to but you.
This movie is one of the most haunting love stories I've seen, and all I have to do is hear the title to be reminded of how deeply the passion hits by the end. It features music written by Sufjan Stevens, including the song Mystery of Love, which was nominated for an Oscar. It also contains, for my money, one of the most arresting passages about love and relationships I can remember seeing in a film.
How you live your life is your business. Just remember, our hearts and our bodies are given to us only once. And before you know it, your heart's worn out. And as for your body, there comes a point when no one looks at it, much less wants to come near it.
Tell me about the first time seeing this movie.
It's been a while, honestly. I think I didn't watch it. It came out in 2018, I believe. I don't remember. I don't think I watched it in 2018. I remember being kind of late to the party.
Yeah, it came out in 2017.
Okay, yeah.
So, but maybe you didn't see it till 2018? How old would you have been?
Oh my God, how old was I? What am I, 21 now? It's 2025. Oh my God. I can't do that math. How old would I have been, Christopher?
Well, come on. What year were you born?
2003.
Okay. So I think that would put you at 15.
15.
I'll have to check my math, but it's 15, right?
It is.
Okay. So what stood out the first time seeing it? I mean, like, how did it impact you?
I just really liked the cinematography. I think it really made me want to go to Italy. I don't know. I feel like movies that I was watching before weren't as, I don't want to, they didn't, I don't know. I feel like it just had a lot of color and it was very, I like that it was taking place, I believe in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
When it was set. So I also really like that. But yeah, I would say like the color of it, I just, it was very vibrant.
Yeah, I don't think any of it, I mean, it's like speaking of Italy, I don't think any of it seemed to happen like on a soundstage or on a constructed set. I mean, to me, it looked like right. They were always in real places.
Yeah, I think that's what I really liked about it, too. Everything felt very natural.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched it a lot since the first time you saw it?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, usually the movies that we watch over and over again are, I mean, like they become a comforting thing.
Right.
Especially stuff that you watch, like that you grow up watching. But this movie is really sad. Mm-hmm. And well, bittersweet at best and tragic really,
right.
At worst. So how did you find this like something you wanted to keep visiting over and over again?
I don't even know if I'm honest. I feel like I really like kind of the overall message of it, especially like the ending scene where I believe it's Elio's father. He's like speaking to him and they're kind of having a conversation just kind of about heartbreak and life and moving on. So it's like, I feel like it was the message of the movie for me. I don't know why. It is kind of a devastating movie. I'm not sure, but it is like devastatingly comforting for me.
Ah, interesting. I've never heard those two words put together before. I mean, don't you think it's like, if there's a movie or a piece of art or something that reliably makes you feel very sad and have an emotional response, it's somehow like safer to go watch that movie than to process all the sadness you might be feeling about any number of things in your actual day-to-day life?
Exactly. I really, really, really love movies that just make me feel emotions because in real life, it's really hard for me to feel them. So I kind of latch onto movies where I feel my situation is kind of similar and so that I can almost live through the characters. So that, you know, I can kind of veer away from reality and feel my emotions in something that's like less, that'll be like free of judgment.
Yeah. Yeah. It gives you a place to go to feel those things without hurting yourself or anyone else. But did you know that there's something about how, like, if you cry at the end of a movie or you like, you watch an actor going through this super intense scene and you feel like you empathize with them and you feel what they're going through, It's like your body doesn't really know the difference between something that's made up to make you feel an emotion or something that's real that's making you feel an emotion. Like if you're crying and you're feeling sad about it at a movie, it's pretty much the same as crying and feeling sad about something that happened that morning to you.
Right.
So it's just as, it could be potentially like just as cathartic as like a real cry over a real thing.
Exactly. So do you think, okay, look at me flipping the script on you.
Yeah.
So do you think when we're feeling very intense emotions or like intense waves of sadness, when we go to watch a movie that is intended to be a comedy or like a feel good, quote unquote, feel good movie, do you think we kind of, I don't know, what's the word? We kind of fake those feelings too in order to feel separated from reality.
Can you ask me that again, actually? I'm not sure I followed it all the way.
Okay. So if we are feeling sad, for lack of a better word, and then we go to see a feel-good movie, like the same thing that you just said, essentially, but flipped. So if we're feeling sad, then we go to a feel-good movie. Do you think that we can kind of fabricate those feelings of happiness?
Yeah.
In order to actually feel that way?
You can kind of, I mean, there are different ways to kind of hijack your own system. And I mean, we do different things to like cheer ourselves up or to get ourselves out of a spiral. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, I think if you're, I mean, there are movies I purposely watch when I'm feeling down because I know they make me feel the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely. I mean, and I also think if a movie is really doing its job, you might very well forget about whatever it is that's bothering you before the movie started. It'll still be there when the movie's over.
Mm-hmm.
So you were, I mean, pretty close in age to the main character when you saw it, right? I mean, so we mm-hmm. did the math together and figured out you were 15 and Elio mm-hmm. was 17. So how did you relate to like the things he was feeling, the things he was going through, maybe like differently than I would have, because I was older than that when I saw it?
Yeah, I think the coming of age, which is another like genre of movies or like movie trope that I really like, but like that coming of age aspect really drew me to it also. I think he, like I said, he had like that childlike innocence, and but also that finding out who he is, but also who he is in a way that he is when he's loving somebody else, which is something that I was kind of going through at the same time. I never really thought about our ages in that, because we were so close in age, or the character was so close in age to me. I think maybe that's why I kind of felt for him a little bit more. But
yeah. You said you were going through something like that at the time?
Just kind of that, like, you know, something that's kind of new to you, very unrecognizable. So you kind of suppress the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I didn't really have the same outcome that he did, which was, I guess, good for me. But in terms of like my parents and like supporting things like that. So I think that's why I really kind of connected with him, because he kind of got the future or the ending that I kind of wanted. He had a lot of support in the movie, but that was kind of after the fact. So I feel like he had this fear of judgment, which was something that I can kind of relate to when loving somebody else. It's just like so deeply, but wanting to kind of suppress that emotion enough, it's almost like you're lying to yourself and everyone else. But I feel like we really love somebody that, as much as he really loved Oliver, it was kind of so evident that his dad had no other option but to be supportive and be there for him. And I wish that I kind of had that same type of support system.
Right. So you were feeling things as intensely as the main character was feeling them, but without the safety net of parents like he had.
Exactly.
Tyra.
Yes. Christopher.
Have you felt anything as intense as whatever you were going through when you first saw Call Me By Your Name since then?
Yes, but more in the learning about myself aspect, no. I think that was a really big change for me watching that movie, after watching that movie, or during that time, during when I first watched it.
What do you think you learned about yourself?
For a long time, I didn't really think that I was capable of loving somebody else on a romantic level. I had never been in any type of relationship or anything until up until that time. So for me, it was almost like I also really struggled with self-confidence and building it. So for me, it was like I didn't really know that somebody else could love me as much as that person did during that time.
I think that when you're that age and you have that kind of first love, it's super intense. And I don't think that that intensity can really ever work in like a long-term relationship. Not really. Because I think it's too intense and it'll just be exhausting. I mean, like, very few people end up with the person they fell in love with when they were, like, 16. You said that Elio is learning, like, who he is when he loves someone.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that?
Throughout the movie, we see kind of two different versions of him. I think in the start, everything kind of feels unnatural to him because he's dating a woman, and then he's kind of noticing that he's not really feeling the same love that he feels with that woman in the same ways that he feels with Oliver. He just experiences a lot, and he takes his time throughout the movie to kind of like recognize that this is the way that I'm feeling. And then when he recognizes that, he takes that love and he kind of puts all of himself into Oliver. So much so that he tells them they like switch each other's names. They call each other by the opposite name.
Call me by your name and I'll call you by mine.
I'm not sure I ever understood that part. I mean, like the point of calling each other by their own names.
I've never heard of anything like that before. Like that was very new to me also.
What do you think it means?
I like perceived it as he, both of them really just felt such intense love and like feeling for each other that they kind of swapped souls. They just were able to connect on a different level. And they kind of felt like themselves within the other person.
Mm.
Maybe that's why they decided to call each other by their names.
So, welcome home.
Thanks.
Oliver enjoyed the trip?
Yeah, I think he did.
You two had a nice friendship.
Yeah.
Elio's father, he is a very supportive. I feel like it was something just uncommon to me. Like I've never really seen a parent speak on love in that way. I rewatched the scene right before we did this, and I just was like, I realize why I keep coming back to this movie, because he's just such a comforting person that it's like I just would want to be in that situation and have him there with me as well.
You're too smart not to know how rare, how special what you two had was.
Oliver was Oliver. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Parce que c'était lui. Parce que c'était moi.
Oliver made me very intelligent, but...
He was more than intelligent. What you two had... had everything and nothing to do with intelligence. He was good. You were both lucky to have found each other because... you too are good.
I think he was better than me. I think he was better than me.
I'm sure he'd say the same thing about you.
He'd say the same thing.
Which flatters you both. And when you least expect it, nature has cunning ways of finding our weakest spot. Just remember I'm here. Right now you may not want to feel anything. Maybe you never wanted to feel anything. And, maybe it's not to me you'll want to speak about these things, but feel something you obviously did. Look, you had a beautiful friendship. Maybe more than a friendship. And I envy you. In my place, most parents would hope the whole thing goes away. Pray their sons land on their feet, but I am not such a parent. We rip out so much of ourselves to be cured of things faster that we go bankrupt by the age of 30 and have less to offer each time we start with someone new. But to make yourself feel nothing so as not to feel anything, what a waste.
I think the best way to describe what this movie is about without adding any plot details is just to watch the ending scene talking about love and feeling that love without feeling like it should be something that is suppressed, but instead going forth with it. And making the most out of it, because it doesn't happen very often.
Thank you for listening to Why This Movie. If you have a movie that you love that you'd like to talk about, email me at christopherallenmaloney@gmail.com, and you may be featured on an upcoming show.